Genesis chapter 45. We're going to begin reading with verse 16. All right, Genesis 45, 16. Now, while we read this passage, keep in mind something. You know, we've been studying all this typology that's in the book of Genesis, and that's because the history is just very plain. There it is. Read the history, and you say, okay, I understand that. Not too hard to grasp. But the typology is so good because it teaches us a lot of things concerning real prophecy and not just speculation and some other things that we want to learn about our Bibles. Now, while we read this passage from 16 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 28, keep in mind that when Jesus Christ reveals himself to the Jews at his second coming, you know, the nation of Israel right now still doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. They're looking for somebody else. By the time the tribulation is over, there'll be a remnant of Israel, a small group of Israelites left. He is going to reveal himself to them as their Messiah, King, and Savior, and they are going to receive him. And when that happens, Gentile nations that have tried to help the Jews are going to do everything they can to assist the Jews in rebuilding their country, and they're going to come to see the Lord Jesus Christ and all that kind of stuff. Whereas right now, you know, through the United Nations, Gentile nations are trying to do their best to cooperate with Arab nations to destroy Israel for all intents and purposes. And so keep that subject matter in mind while we read this, and then we'll see how the types play out. Genesis chapter 45, verse 16, "And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants." What's happened is Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers, and now the word is out that he is related to all these guys that had come from Canaan to buy corn. Verse 17, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beast, and go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin," that's his younger brother, "he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat," for his father, by the way. "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that you fall not out by the way. And they went out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived." That doesn't surprise you a bit, does it? He was always one to live by sight, not by faith anyway. "And Israel said, It is enough, Joseph my son is yet alive, and I will go see him before I die." So what has happened here is that Pharaoh has done a great deal to give Joseph's brethren transportation and food and encouragement so they can go home and get all their families, the wagons mainly, or to pick up the kids and all their other stuff that they've got to haul and bring it with them when they come. He's intending for them to stay a good while. There's at least 5 years of famine left, and the intention is they'll come and move over there and stay with Joseph, and Pharaoh and them will take care of him and put him in the best of the land there. Now, in this process, there are things that are going on that Pharaoh is doing that match exactly things that Gentiles will be doing to help the Jews right after the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and right at the end of the tribulation. Okay? Do you understand that? You know, on Sunday night, we've been studying this thing out a whole lot about things that take place in the tribulation, so this sort of deals with some of the material we studied concerning the Lord's second coming. Let's look at some things. Look at verse 16 again. Look there in verse 16. It says, "The fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants." So as Joseph's brothers were known in Pharaoh's house, so the Jews will be known among the Gentiles at the Lord's second coming. For instance, look at Isaiah chapter 61, look at verse 9. Isaiah 61, verse 9. This is just right in the middle of a context, but it says, "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." Now, they don't do that today. They don't do that today. Even among many Christian churches, they don't do that today. But here, afterwards, they'll see what God's doing, and they will acknowledge that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did when he said, "Well, hey, this is great, man. You know, his whole family is here." Now, keep in mind this. I think most of you are familiar with this, but let me just say this in case you're not. The Bible is filled with types and metaphors. I mean, Jesus Christ spent a great deal of time teaching in parables. And so when we study these things, like I said, the history is obvious, but the types and metaphors point to things. What you don't want to do is draw out a type that doesn't lead to anything but what you want it to teach. But in this particular case, as Pharaoh had gotten excited about the Joseph's brethren, so the Gentiles will be more excited about the people that God has blessed. You know, if you study your Bible, throughout the Jews are persecuted the whole way, and nobody likes them, and work them over. We do, as Christians. Great peace have they. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that, what? Love thee. You say, well, they're sure hard to love. So, love them anyway. Amen? You know why Gentiles mostly don't like Jews? Mainly? Got a clue? Well, for Christians, it's that they won't accept our Jesus, but for others, it's envy. Gentiles like money, and Jews make a lot of it. Well, they're clannish. But I'm glad for that. I mean, it just continually, it many times, demonstrates God's answer to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And that's the way it is. All right. Now look in verses 17 and 18. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come again to me. I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land." All right. The fat of the land, of course, is the most prosperous stuff. As Joseph's brothers would eat the fat of the land in this particular two verses, so the Jews will, and this is the expression, suck the milk of the Gentiles. Look in Isaiah chapter 60 again. We were in 61 last time. Look in Isaiah chapter 60. Again, we're right in the middle of a context, but look at verse 16. Isaiah chapter 60, and look at verse 16. "Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." So whereas now, Gentiles generally won't do much. I think the United States of America is probably the only nation left that still gives financial aid to the Jews. Is that correct? Right. And here is saying, look, man, the Gentiles are going to really cooperate. Those that are left, the Gentile nations that aren't destroyed at Armageddon, will do things, they will provide nourishment for and plenty for the Jews. That's what Pharaoh did for them in the midst of a famine. See the type, see the comparison? Okay. Interestingly enough, oftentimes we have spoken of the tribulation as a 7-year period because of Daniel's 70th week. How many years of famine were there? 7 years. They'd come over there and gotten corn twice. Now they're going to move in on the country, and they're going to enjoy the best of the land and the nourishment of Pharaoh from that affliction. All right, now look in verse 19. "Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come." So the little ones and the wives get to ride in a wagon train, so they don't have to go on the back of an ass or back of a camel in order to come, and the wives as well. So as Joseph's brothers and families will be carried in wagons when they come back from Canaan to Egypt, so the Jews are going to be carried in chariots and litters and other modes of transportation by the Gentiles. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 66. I think all but one of the cross references I'm going to give you today are in the book of Isaiah, so I want you to get used to where it is. Isaiah chapter 66, again in the middle of a context, but look at verse 20. You might look at verse 19 for a context if you want to. I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations to Tarshish, Pool, Lud, that draw the bow, Tubal, Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Watch it. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters, that's like coaches, and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. Well, throughout the history of the Jews, you can see evidence where people had gone into Israel to carry away people captive. Now, the Jews that have scattered at this time are brought back by the Gentiles and transported right into their own country and given ease of transportation in these chariots and litters and mules and other things like that. Just like Pharaoh did for Joseph's brethren and their families, that said, boy, just put them in wagons. We'll bring them over here and give them a comfortable ride. It's a good thing. Now look in verse 20. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Boy, that's a blank check, isn't it? You know, that reminds me of the way the Lord treats us. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Paul said, when the Corinthian church was fussing about whether they would follow Apollos or Paul or Peter or one of those, he said, all are yours. It's all yours. And that's a wonderful thing. So he says, all the land of Egypt is yours. The good of all the land of Egypt is yours. So as Joseph's brothers were given all the good of the land of Egypt, so the Jews will inherit the Gentiles. Look again in Isaiah chapter 54 this time. Isaiah chapter 54, and look at verses 2 and 3. Now this is another reason why Gentiles despise Israel, because Israel is going to become the dominant nation in the world. And there is a lot of stuff that Gentiles have that the Jews are going to possess during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Isaiah 54, verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand, and on the left thy seed shall inherit what? The Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, they're just going to spread out and go all over that country. Now, I've told you before, the land grant that was given to Abraham by God in Genesis takes you from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River, up here into Syria, and back down into what's now Palestine. That whole region is already a land grant that was given by God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. That's already been done. And he says, length of the course, spread out. I mean, they're fussing right now whether the Jews ought to have the Dome of the Rock, you know, where the Mosque of Omar is, to put their temple. Boy, there's going to be a big fuss when they start spreading out like that. But that's what they're going to get. And Pharaoh says, let them have it. And that is going to be a cooperative thing. When Jesus has already crushed the nations with the rod of iron, he just says, let them have it. Just spread on out of there. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I want you to see something that's kind of interesting. I'll make this real brief, but see if you can turn back your mind to the last millennium. No. A long time ago, when we started studying the book of Genesis, some of you were much younger back then. I don't think John Epler had gray hair then. Anyway, when we started studying that, we showed you in Genesis chapter 10 that when Noah got off the boat, his three sons went in three different directions. Japheth went into Europe, and Shem went off into Asia, and Ham went off into Africa. And what you see from that is the origin of the various nations, the African nations, the Asian nations, and the European nations, which pretty much defines all of the races that you see today. And because Ham's children went off down into Africa, What you get there, those children went down there into Africa. What you see then is that Ham's offspring are predominantly where the black people came from. They were the ones that inhabited the land of Canaan. Now, this is just an interesting thing. Today, have you ever gone by a black Baptist church? You, or you recall doing that? All right. What's the, give me the name of, do you remember the name of one? Shiloh Baptist Church. Zion, Bethlehem. Where are these places? They're all in the land of Canaan. You know what the Jews did when they went into the land of Canaan? They kicked the Canaanites out. And now when they name their churches, they name them after places that are in the land of Canaan. Isn't that weird? What? Canaan? It's this, yeah, it's, well, it's that. Excuse me, this one's bigger. It's easier for you to see. From there up to there, that's Canaan. From a line drawn from the Gaza Strip to the Dead Sea, or connecting to Beersheba, all the way up to north of the Sea of Galilee that you see there, and coming across about where that orange line is right there, because that's where Dan was. From Dan to Beersheba, it says, that's the land of Canaan. And everything inside the Jordan River and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And so there's a displacement there, and it's almost like an envy to be back in. And it don't even nobody even has a clue why they're doing it. But you can see why they're doing it. And so what happens is when Pharaoh says, you get the good of all the land.
Isn't this the same land that the northern guys also?
Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Sure is. The northern tribes were basically just a little bit north of Jerusalem and all the way up. Okay? That's the land of Canaan. Sure is. Here, you get a better look at it there. Okay. Where are we? That was verse 20. Okay, look at verse 21. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them what? Provision for the way. All right? As the Joseph's brothers were given provision for the way, so the Jews will be fed and nursed and not hunger. All right, look in Isaiah. We're going to look at two places. Look in Isaiah 49. Both of these places are in Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49, and look at verses 8 to 10. Isaiah 49, verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger, nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. So they're in the midst of a famine, and God takes them into the best of the land of Egypt, and they are nourished there, and they have provision for the way. You're in Isaiah 49. Now look down at verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens, thy nursing mothers. Well, I'll tell you, that's like loving them. The kings and queens of the nations will handle them like a nursing mother and a nursing father. Now you say, well, I've never seen a nursing father. I mean, in the sense of milking out to a child. But have you ever, you've seen a father take a little baby like that, that needs to be comforted and so forth. And I mean, you see John Epler coming here, Grandpa, carrying that baby up on his shelf. It's like that. It's like tenderly, compassionately taken care of. And that's what the Gentiles are doing for the Jews. We're in the middle of verse 23. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. You know, it's a real shock, you know. The nation, if you went to the United Nations and said, I'd like to preach a little sermon, I'd like to let you know what's fixing to happen here, and poured all of what we're learning in this Sunday school class today out to that, they would fall out of their chairs, swallow their microphones. They wouldn't know what to do. And this will happen in spite of the fact that all of the nations are against this very thing. This will happen. Huh? When? When God says so. When God says so. All right, look at verse 22 in the chapter we're studying today. Verse 22. To all of them he gave, each man, changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Changing raiment is a very typical thing with God, by the way. Jesus Christ was buried in what? Well, he was buried in linen. He was buried in linen. And he left those linen clothes and changed clothes. This universe is going to fly away one day at the appearance of the Lord God. And when a new heaven and a new earth appears, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that's like the universe changing clothes. You're going to change clothes. You've got this earthly tabernacle of flesh, and there's going to come a time when God's going to allow you to drop this robe of flesh, and you're going to pick up a glorified body. You're going to change raiment. At the judgment seat of Christ, we find that the faith of the saints is represented by white linen, fine and clean, and that's the way the bride adorns herself in Revelation chapter 19. We find the tribulation saints in Revelation chapter 7 standing around the throne of God, and they are in white robes, and they are praising God. And so consequently, he gives them changes of raiment for their journey, and that pictures the fact that as they were given those changes of raiment, so the Jews will be clothed with garments of salvation. Look in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I mean, this whole thing is like salvation. Later on, when we're studying the book of Genesis, you're going to see the Egyptians say to Joseph, you saved our lives. And literally, by taking care of Joseph's brothers, their children and their wives and his father, and bringing them over there, he saved their life from starvation during this famine. So they're going to change raiment, and it pictures this thing right here in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. So he gave him change of raiment. And then, not only that, look at verses 27 and 28 of our passage. Verses 27 and 28. They told him all the words of, this is when they see Jacob. They told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough, Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. As Jacob believed that Joseph was alive and that he would see Joseph, so the Jews believe that Jesus is alive and that they will see Jesus. You see, right now, that really came as a surprise, even back when Paul and Peter and James and John and all of them were preaching. It came as a real surprise to the Jews that there was a resurrection. Many of them didn't believe it. And to this day, they're looking for somebody other than a resurrected Savior. But they're going to believe that Jesus is alive at his second coming, and they will see him. Look in Job chapter 19 as one of the places. Job chapter 19. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture you're getting ready to look at. Job got to a place where he was so beat up by the loss of his children, the loss of all of his possessions, and the loss of his health, that he despaired. And his friends, who should have come to comfort him, began to talk to him of things concerning righteousness and other things that really weren't giving him any comfort at all. Yet he found comfort and consolation in this thing that he said, Job chapter 19, verse 25. And this is the same thing that the Jews will say concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That is a man that said that in about 1800 B.C. I know I'm going to see my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer. I know he's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What faith. That's tremendous. And the Jews are going to be the same way. Look in Zechariah chapter 12. That's the second to the last book in your Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, and look at verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And there he is. And they'll see him. Just like Jacob knew that he would see Joseph. So the Jews will know that they will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you see, they actually see him right there.